please.
Okay. So here we are on Daf Mem Beis. That's where we stopped. And the Gemara on Daf Mem Amid Beis, all the way till basically Mem Beis Amid Beis, is what I call Agadata. It's not always Agadata. Some of it is, you know, here and there. There are sort of sprinklings of halacha, and you know, there are some discussions that maybe we'll come back to. But the main thing that we discussed on many occasions is that here at Daf Mem Amid Beis, the Gemara assumes that klisheni eino mevashel. That's what we get about. But now we turn to Mem Beis Amid Beis, and the picture becomes a little bit more complicated. And the Gemara says the following, that in the case of Melach, the Gemara quotes Rav Yosef. This is approximately before the Mishnah, which is in the middle of the page. It's approximately six lines up before that. And then you have Rav Chia even before that. And the Gemara says that Sovar Rav Yosef Lememar Melach Harehu Kitavlin, that salt has the same status as spices. And now we have to figure out what's the significance of spices. So in order to figure out the significance of spices, we go back to the Mishnah Mem Beis Amud Aleph for a split second, which is the last line on the Daf. And there the Mishnah establishes ha'ilfas, which is some sort of large frying pan, vakdera, and a pot, sheheviron, that he took off the fire right before Shabbos, mu'sachim, which means the contents of the pot are very hot. Let's assume, for argument's sake, yad sol lettuce bo. Lo yitein letochan tavlin. In other words, we have two conditions here that have been met. Number one, we're talking about a kli rishon. This ilfas is a kli rishon. It was on the fire itself. And number two, the contents of the pot are roseach, are very, very hot. So basically, the stage is set for bishul, because you have a kli rishon and everything is hot. It hasn't yet cooled off, even though it was taken off the fire. So the Mishnah paskins that you're not allowed to put tavlin, some sort of a spice, inside this pot of food. Because again, you have all the conditions of bishul. And now on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara says that Rav Yosef wants to suggest that salt has the same status as tavlin. And what does that mean? The bekli rishon bashla, ubekli sheni lo bashla. Okay, now we have to figure out two things here. Number one, we have to figure out what is the chiddush here of tavlin. Tavlin seems to be just a case that represents the rule itself, meaning that there is bishul and a kli rishon if it's roseach. So what's the big deal about tavlin? And number two, if there is some chiddush that tavlin is you're not allowed to put it into a kli rishon, then why would melach have the same status as tavlin? So we have to see exactly what
a
this
contradiction. In kli sheni, it's not mevashel.
Oh, now since the Mishnah says that tavlin you're not allowed to put into a kli rishon, the implication is that a kli sheni would be fine. So I want to read to you here a Rashba. He has a summary of the Rashba. If you have it, Ben, it's in number Beis on Mem Beis Amud Beis Aleph.
Got it.
Okay. So he says that Lorak Litocha Karos Shenosnin Me'atamchui Litochan Vehein Kvark Kli Shlishi Mutalosis Tavlin. Elafilu tocha tamchui shehu klisheni Gam ke mutal loses tavlin. So it comes out that according to the Rashba, when the Mishnah prohibits putting tavlin into the ilfas, that's because, as we said earlier, the ilfas has a status of what? A kli rishon. However, had it been placed into a kli sheni, then it would be fine. Now, if you go back one footnote early, I mean, actually a few footnotes early, but I mean to say the page before that, Mem Beis Amud Aleph on the bottom number, Mem Ches, he quotes the Pnei Yoshua, Shadin, what is the law? That Kli Rishon Mevashel. And what's the Chiddush of Ilfas? Af, even though Liachar Shehusar Mehaish. So you've already taken the pot off the fire, it still has the status of a Kli Rishon. And therefore Tavlin, you can't put into a kli rishon. The chiddush according to the Rashba is that because the kara has the din or the ilfas has the din of a kli rishon, therefore it's asur. But if on the other hand you would take away the din, the status of a kli rishon, then it would be mutter. So, for example, the Rashba points out here that it's if let's say you take the ilfas and you pour its contents into a tamchui. Tamchui is some sort of a pot. And now he wants to pour a tavshil aleihem, and that's called iri kli rishon. That would be a problem, because iri kli rishon, according to the Rashba, and we've seen this in the past, is the same as kli rishon. But in a kli sheni, it would be fine. The Rashbam, as we've said many times, is of the opinion that Iri Kli Rishon has a din of a Kli Sheni. But whatever it is, the Mishnah is prohibiting putting its tavlin into an ilfas, which is clearly a Kli Rishon, and if you pour the contents of the ilfas directly onto the tavlin, that would become Iri Kli Rishon, which would be a machlokas between the Rashba, who holds like Rabbeinu Tam, on the one end, and the Rashbam on the other. So let's just go slowly. What we see here slowly is that tavlin can be placed into a kli sheni, and Rav Yosef wants to extend and apply that principle to melach, and therefore he says melach harei ki tavlin de kli rishon bashla. There will be bishul in a kli rishon, but kli sheni lo bashla. There's no bishul. So therefore you're allowed to put the salt into the kli sheni, but not into a kli rishon. Omali Abaya, Abaya turns to Rav Yosef, Tni. We learned this in a brisa, the name of Rabbi Chiya. Shemelach eino ketavlin. Ubi kli sheni nami boshla. So Rabbi Chiya in the brisa, at this point, whoops, I'm sorry for that. Whereas according to Rabbi Chiya in the brisa, tavlin does not lend itself to bishul and kli sheni, but melach does lend itself to bishul and kli sheni. And this is going to be a launching pad for all those who say that there is bishul and a kli sheni, because according to Rabbi Chiya in the Braisa, you can't put salt into a kli sheni. Upliga de Rav Nachman, and this Braisa that defines and categorizes melach as kaliyad bishul, like daga ispidin, and therefore it's subject to bishul and kli sheni, that's against Rav Nachman, because the Omer of Nachman, tzricha milcha bishula ke bishul Torah. Now this principle, which we'll have to analyze, is going to give us an insight as to why tavlin is not subject to bishul and kli sheni. And that was the chiddush of our Mishnah, that you're allowed to put tavlin, I'm sorry, that you're not allowed to put tavlin in an ilfas, which is a kli rishon, but you're allowed to put in a kli sheni. And apparently, there was a very strong hava meaning to say that you're not allowed to put tavlin into a kli sheni. And the essence of that hava meaning is written here in Rav Nachman's statement. Tzricha milcha Bishua kibisra de Torah, which means that you need a very, very heavy bishul. Now, let's just read on a little bit. The Ika Diabri, according to the second Mishnah, Sover of Yosef Lememar, Melach Harehu Kitavlin, De Bekli Rishon Beshela Bekli Sheni Lo Beshela. That Melach has the same status as Tavlin, which means that this Lashon of Rav Yosef supports what we saw the name of Nachman, so we're equating Melach with Tavlin, and there's no Bishon of Klisheni. Omrele Abaye, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Tani, we have a Braisa from in the name of Chia, Melach Eino Ketavlin, Devekli Rishon Nami Lo Boshla. And Hainu the Omer of Nachman Tzricha Milcha Bishula Kibisra de Torah. That there are certain things that are so tough, they're so hard, that in order to soften them through Bishul, it's not enough to have a Kli Rishon, meaning when it's off the fire. So this is fascinating unto itself, that we have now an opening for the possibility that in certain cases Kli Rishon is not Mavashal. Now we have an opening that certain cases there is Bishul in a Kli Sheni. And let's calculate those cases. Where could there be Bishul in a Kli Sheni? According to Rav Yosef, Melach Harei Kitavlin means that neither in the case of Melach nor in the case of Tavlin is the Bishul a Kli Sheni. But according to Rav Chia, if we go back to the first Lishna, is Melach Eino Kitavlin, which means that the Kli Sheni there is Bishul. So it means that we have now two possibilities on two ends, extreme ends of polar ends of the fulcrum here. We have a possibility that Kli Rishon might not be able to accomplish Bishul because it's off the fire and we're dealing with things that are very tough, like Bisra the Tura. The Gemara says Bisar Ha Hashar, you know, the meat of an ox. And according to Rav Nachman, Melech also is something that's very hard to cook, and therefore won't be cooked in a Kli Rishon. So if you take a look at footnote number Yud Aleph, he says in the name of the Ritva, Shebesar Shor, the flesh of the meat of a shor, of an ox, Eino Misbashable Kli Rishon. So how do you cook and violate Bishul in the case of Besar Shor? Only Bekidera Bunachas Al Gabia Ish. Only if it's on the fire itself. And now Rav Nachman is equating salt with Besar Shor. Now what about Tavlin? What's the status of Tavlin? So we're saying that Melach is not like Tavlin. That's what Rav Chia says in the Braisa. But what does that mean, Melech is not like Tavlin? In which direction? The first Lishna in the Gemara says that Melech is not like Tavlin, meaning that even though Tavlin there is no Bishul Kli Sheni, but in Melech there is Bishul Kli Sheni. That means that we're subsuming Melech under Kaliyah Bishul. The second Lishna in Rav Chia would say that Melech is so difficult to cook that even B'Kli Rishon it's not cooked, and it has the same status as B'Sar Shor. So we have those two extremes. But in the middle, we have a shita that Melach has the same status as Tavlin, which means it's not Bashal B'Kli Rishon, it's Bashal B'Kli Sheni. I'm sorry. That it's Bashal B'Kli Rishon, but it's not Bashal B'Kli Sheni. Now, what about Tavlin itself? So we go back to Rabbi Yosef. It says, Sova Rabbi Yosef Lememar, that Melach Harehu Kitavlin, the Bekli Rishon B'Shela, Ubekli Sheni Lo B'Shela. So that's sort of like the middle shita here, that Melach has the same status as Tavlin, and you can only cook it in a Kli Rishon. So Rav Osef, if we summarize the shitas in Melach, we have three shitas. We have one shita that says that Melach can be cooked in a Kli Rishon, but not in a Kli Sheni. Okay, that makes Melach equal to Tavlin. We have another shita that says Melach can be cooked in a Kli Sheni, And we have a third sheet that says that melach can't be cooked even in a kli rishon. We mamish cover the entire spectrum. Now, the Beis Yosef in Simon Shin Yud Ches, which you'll see here on your page, quotes a smag. Yesh dvorim shemisbashlim af beklisheni. Kidamrinon melach beklisheni nami b'sheila. So the smag is quoting the brisa of Rav Chiya according to the Lishnah Kama, that melach is beklisheni b'sheila. And you're not allowed to put salt in a cliché. According to Rav Chiya and the Lishnah Basra, on the other hand, melach cannot be cooked even in a kli rishon. But he's quoting the Lishnah Kama. And according to Lishnah Kama, it comes out that melach can be cooked in a cliché. That's Rav Chiya in the Brice, according to the first Lishnah. Now the smag drops a bomb.
Smag.
The smag, Sefer Mitzvahs Gedolos. Ein anu bekim bedvarim akalim lizbasha. We don't know which foods are classified as kali abisha. The royal hachmir bekulam. Now, if I read this correctly, he's saying that we have to avoid a klisheni straight across the board. Now, again, I would add the following stipulation, that it's very hot. If it's not very hot, and the cliché is cooled off, there's nothing to talk about.
Why? I'm sure there's people who are machmir, let's say, on tea. And they'll say,
so no, our discussion
is about sense. I'm not going to use a cliché because it changes color and the flavor goes in.
Okay, but we're going to get to tea. If you take a look at those dalit on this page, it's all about tea.
Some maga aficionados.
Right. But again, let's just summarize the Bahag. The Bahag is saying, the smag, right, excuse me, is saying that there's bishul and a cliché. We don't know what kinds of foods are subject to bishul and a cliché. Therefore, we have to be machmir straight across the board. Now, the Beis Yosef quotes the Hagos Maimonios, who says that pas derechicha misbashla gam beklisheni. In other words, even if we don't accept the smag straight across the board, but there are things that we know are easily cooked in a klisheni. So you have something called pas derechicha. I guess it's a very soft loaf of bread. Lachain hichmir bozeh haraim. Raim is one of the Bali Atosus already. So again, it comes out that according to the Beis Yosef, quoting both the Smag and Agos Maimonides and the Mordechai, those are three of the Chachmei Arishonim from Ashkenaz, they all seem to say that we have to be machmir in some cases, if not in all cases, for a klisheni. Achein, however, the tour in Siman Shin Yud Ches argues with the Ra'im, this is Rabbi Lozov Mimetz, and he says that klisheni ain't of his basha. And the Shulchan Aruch himself brings down two opinions. So let's open up the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Yud Ches Se'if Hey. And this you'll find,
like, some type of a stipulation, it has to be Yad Soledit?
No. Yes, I definitely assume so. So we're on page here. It's Kuflam and Hey. Yesh Misha Omer de Dovra Nefe O Nitzla in Bishlo Acher Kach Bemashke Yesh Bo Mishum Bishol. That's not relevant to us right now. That means Yesh Bishol Acher Afiyah or Yesh Bishol Acher Tzliyah. But what we're interested is on the top page 270. He says we also litain pas Afilu Biklisheni, and here he adds your stipulation, Shmuel. Shayad Soledis Bo. No, it's even according to the Machmirim that the Beis Yosef quoted, and now he's codifying that here in the first opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. That's only if this condition was fulfilled, that it's Yad Soledis Bo. If it's not Yad Soledis Bo, then there ain't nothing to talk about. And now he's focusing on pas. I guess it's a soft piece of bread. And this is what he had quoted the name of Rav Lezer Mimetz. Then he quotes a second opinion, the Yesh Matirim. And that Yesh Matirim was the Tur. Correct? The Tur says that Klisheni Einu Mevashel, and therefore it's Mutter. So Rabosai, if you want to put, I asked you if you could put croutons into the ladle. If the ladle is a klisheni, then you might... Oh, let's go a step further. The ladle might be a kli rishon, we said.
Oh, yeah.
Machlokas, what happens after you take it out. But let's say if the ladle is a kli rishon, mm-hmm. and now you pour the soup into your bowl, then to put bread in that bowl could be a problem because it's only a klisheni. Again, I'm not coming here to, with the Chumra of the Week Club, but just... This is Mamish speaks to me every Shabbos, every Friday night we have a hot soup. Mm-hmm. So my wife puts the ladle into the pot, mm-hmm. then she pours it into the individual portion, and now I want to put breadcrumbs in there, or challah crumbs, or croutons, or whatever I want to put into it. He's saying, also litain pasa fil b'klisheni. Now, well, we still have to get back to the issue of Yad Sol Letespo. Yehuda sent me actually an attachment on Yad Sol Letespo. I didn't get a chance to print it out. And that's going to be the precondition for this Chumra. Now, exactly. I don't know if the soup reaches Yad Sol Letespo. I doubt it. What do you think?
Depends on whose house.
Yeah, in certain houses it is. I know my father, may rest in peace, my mother had to make hot soup. I mean, you could push it, burn yourself with it. And if it wasn't boiling hot, that was it. You knew it wasn't the... So if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah here, he writes that...
What else?
We're going to look at number Ben Bays, which is on the right column. He says... Just 1 second. There may be something here in Mem Aleph. Okay, so that's not for us. He says, "Hosef present in Achra Tav the Srila the Deizu the Yesh." Oh, this is what you want to underline: the Yesh Dvarim Shemizbashim Afilu BeKlishenim Ipnei Sheim Rachim. So the key of keys to understand what might be a candidate for Kali Abishol, as far as Klisheni is concerned, is what he calls Rachim. It's soft. The Ein Onu BeKiyim. Now, what does it mean, Ein Onu BeKiyim? How far are you going to go with Ein Onu BeKiyim? You could go as far as the smog went and say that therefore you can't put anything in the klisheni. I don't know, the Mishnah Berurah is not outspoken about this. He says, Al kein hosif leso litein pasa ofli du rochif, hafil du klisheni. Oh, for hu adin, he's taking the smog straight across the board, ledei azu, yesh lahachmir nami b'shar dvarim shelo litnein b'klisheni. Okay, and if you take a look down in the Sharet Zion in Samad Zion, he quotes this in the name of the Magen Avraham. So all this, it seems, is based on the smog. And we're not only nervous about putting a pas, which is very soft, into a klisheni, but even other things, he says. B'shar Dvarim, he doesn't tell you what the Shar Dvarim is. You get the impression that maybe it's all-inclusive.
So on the continuum, something... soft, easier to cook is more problematic, and something that's harder to cook is less problematic in terms of klisheni.
Right. That's exactly it. And this is what we saw in the name of the Prima Gadim yesterday in great length. But we thought that the Beis Yosef was rejecting that, but now it's not so clear anymore. Now, take a look at Cholent here. He has a number mem hey. Ein nosnin lechem b'marak shel ha-cholent. Bekara shehi klisheni. So you've poured the cholent out of its original pot into a kara, into some sort of a bowl, and it's got liquids. And now you're going to put the marak inside, I'm sorry, the lechem inside. And this is a problem of bishul b'klisheni. V'kolshkei sheish lizor shelo la'aros aleihem mikli rishon. The osam shechotchim abitzolim, there are people who cut onions and they put it into the soup. Lo yasimu rak liacher shalotia yad sol lettuce po bamorak. You see, the Mishnah Berurah is worried about yad sol lettuce po in soup. He's saying, wait till your soup cools off a bit before you put the onions into the soup. It's as if you're not allowed to put bread which is already baked inside your soup, because the cliche in this case, how much more so something that's raw in its natural state like onions has never been cooked. And then he writes that ki ein anu bekiyum b'midei demikri rochek, we can't define that which is soft and that which is kali abishal. Now I'm assuming he's going to talk about tea at some point here. But let's, you know what, let's take a little bit of a break here from the Mishnah Berurah and let's go back to our piece here. And he says the following, that the Shulchan Aruch brings two dayas, the Yesh Machmir B'Paschal Oditna Filu B'Klishen, Yesh Matirin.
Are you in the Mensifta?
No, I'm in this page Kuf Lamed Aleph that I gave you out this morning.
Thanks.
Okay then, and we're towards the end of the first paragraph. He says, "Yesh matirin kedas hatur, v'kosem amogin avram, yesh dvarim shemispashlim bo v'edon abekiyim and kein b'shar dvarim nami chutz mipas yesh lahachmir v'kein pasak v'mishnah berurah sifkat mem beis." So we're on target so far. Oh, so where's the story about tei? Tea. So he says, take a look at the Mishnah Berurah Lamed Tes. Okay, so we'll go back to the Mishnah Berurah again. I hope I'm not driving you crazy back and forth. But this is going to be on page Kuf Lamed He. And
Lamed Tes.
Yeah, now honestly, I don't have the time or the energy now to go through Lamed Tes. It's a little bit too long for me. But maybe what we could do is we could find the relevant lines here. I'm sort of like skimming through it. Yeah, I think it's in the wide lines here on Kuf Lamed Hey, and he says that actually even before the wide lines, he says the following. Hine, it's about six lines up before the lines get wide. You have such thing? Hine Laros?
Yes, the last two words on the
line. Hine Laros Mikli Rishon Al Ale Hate. Okay, so he's talking about natural tea, which some people are still drinking these days. You know, it's not necessarily your most common. He says, now you want to pour hot water from the kumkum itself on the tea leaves. He says, "Yesh bazeh bivadai chashash av malacha." Pretty heavy language, because again, it all depends upon the power of a kli rishon. And in this case, if you're pouring it directly onto the tea leaves, then the Mishnah Berurah says there's some minimum amount of bishul, no matter how you slice the cake. No one's going to argue with that. He calls it kedei klipa. You remember we discussed this. Rav Soloveitchik was not on the same page. He thought that kedei klipa has nothing to do with Shabbos, with Melechah Shabbos. But the Mishnah Berurah, it's only an Issa V'Heter. But the Mishnah Berurah understands that there's no difference between Issa V'Heter, Melechah Shabbos, and if there's a bishul and kli rishon in Hilchus Yoredeya, in Bliya, then there's likewise a parallel din of Bishul in Shabbos. Okay. Now he says that some people will pour hot water onto tea, and then what do they have? If it's very thick? Right, tea essence. I know for some reason we call it sense, tea sense, but you're right, it's probably called essence, and we just shortened it to sense.
The Mishnah Berurah, there's an I in.
Oh, he has essence? He has that word?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get to that. Where is that? I didn't see that. Okay. Okay, you're ahead of me. He says,
I have a different page, so I can't tell you how many lines.
Oh, okay. He says, V'kolshkein im yamidenu achakach al hatanur. I think he means this sense, or essence, obetocha kochlin, which I guess is some sort of an oven. Let's see what he says on the bottom. Yemin tanur. Achie yatzel lesbo. Bevada yovel kuliavli de isa skila. You see that the Mishnah Berurah here is, he's fighting, He is fighting a battle. There's no question in my mind from his language, you know, that he's giving you like the, you know, the hyperboles here, you know, that he's a skewer, you know, we're gonna be throwing you off a cliff, you know, and stoning you, he says. Vafilim Yirza Litenis Aliate Litocha Kli Akashia Ara Hachamin Litocha. Alright, so now we're gonna get to Kli Sheni, right? So let's pour the water into a Kli and then put the Alite inside that Kli. Now that you poured the hot water into a second kli, so you took the kumkum and now poured it into a kli, that kli is a kli sheni, and now you would say for sure I could put the alite in a kli sheni. Gam kein osu. Kidil kaimon besif zeh. Now he's going to talk about the bread that we spoke about earlier. The davishal abba b'chamil say Shabbos and shorim b'Shabbos afil kli sheni. If there's something is raw, we don't put it in a kli sheni. Again, we only applied it to daga ispinin. Kol shkein lefima shemavur b'siv zed yeshvam rakim kali abishul shemizbashim afilu ba'docham kli sheni v'yefsha d'yeshpeh ha'olim gamken chashash isu darais afilu b'ofen zel ken iskimu achronim t'yesh laros aleim erev Shabbos roslim v'kli rishon. Right, so we want to make the essence. To make sure that it's all cooked. V'akach yorik es ha'essence l'kli acher k'dei she'isharu alei ate yaveshim the you mutal lo laros acherkach b'shabes aleim mayim chamim mikli rishon kevish kvar nisbashlu me'erev Shabbos. So there's a long arichas here, but the bottom line is he's not happy with tea the way somebody might make it on Shabbos. He wants to make sure that we make the essence on erev Shabbos. He even wants to turn around the tea over and over again, make sure it's completely cooked and put it into a different kli so it'll be yavesh, and therefore you can pour hot water onto yavesh if it's already cooked. So getting back to the text here, he says, Ayin mishnah berurah b'din aliyate b'shabbos b'kli sheni shekosav lesar bozeh mitzad beis tam alf mishum di osim rabbanu levasha b'kli sheni mishum de michsei Kimavashel, Kimavur Bishulgnar, Shinyu Ches Dalit. So, first of all, there's a Drabonin here involved in the case of Bishul Beklisheni, because of Mechse Kimavashel. So, that he tells you to look in Sif Dalit in the Machadra. Let's see if we can find that. He says,
yeah, we didn't even get to that yet. We had so many other stories.
Yeah, we've seen Sif Dalit in the past.
Yeah.
But he says the following. The part that's most relevant to us is when he says Dover Yavesh, this is the last line on page Kufla Midalid in the Mechaber, Dover Yavesh Shalon is Basham Lufnei Shabbos. So we're talking about dry raw food. Ein Shorino So Bechamin B'Shabbos. Okay, we're talking about Yad, so lettuce bone and Kli Sheni. All right, that you'll see in the Mishnah Berurah Novel Lamed Dalet. And the reason for this is because if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah on the top of the next page, 268, the Mechse Kimavashel. Okay, so we have something called Mechse Kimavashel. We had this in the case of Chazorah on Shabbos, the first mission, the Rashi there. Then Bezi says, Mishum Sheesh Lacho Sheesh Bezeh Isur Torah, not only is the Drabbanan of Mechse Kimavashel, there's a problem on a Doraisa level because it might be Kali Abishal, and that's like the smog that we saw before, which was the first day according to the Mechaber here, that we have to worry, we don't know what fits into the category of Kali Abishal. Behine Adover Tavua Ma'od. Let's ask a conceptual question. A At this point, he's not rising up halachically to argue with the Mishnah Berurah, but he has a question in concept, because b'shulchan aruch yoredei kufhei kaimelon b'stoma the klisheni enem avashel v'hu din kloli b'chol macholos asur shal yisurei tor bein basav cholov bein v'peirish shal or l'klai kerem is chazir the kloli the klisheni enem avashel. And we know the answer to this question, because in Shabbos is a separate halacha of Melechus Machshavos of Tikkun, and therefore something which does not come under a Maisa Bishul according to the universal standards of the Torah, because it's in a Klisheni. Nevertheless, if you achieve a Tikkun in a Klisheni, then it's Melechus Bishul. So therefore, on the top of the left column, he says, Af Sheba the Sha'af Alpi. I'm sorry, Sha'alpi Din, Klisheni Eino Mevashel, but Linyan Shabbos, it's Tikkun. And Tikkun is enough to generate an Issa, therefore the Smag says that in the case of a Pas, it might be easy to cook it in a Klisheni, and therefore if you put Pas into Morok, you have a problem. Because in Shabbos, everything is determined by whether there's Bishul and Cheftin. That's what we had in the case of Kulius HaYispidin. Because there the fish was so salted and so soft that you don't need much Bishul to fix it up and perfect it. All you need is a Klisheni. Lefiz and Nira, the ain less of a Klisheni, Mishum Chashash, Isu Torah, Ela im Darko Bekach. Aval im Aderech Levashlo Bekli Rishon. O al ha'esh kamo beitza v'chayotza b'zeh ein b'klisheni chashash alisutar klal, but we have the mekse kimavash alisur drabon. So he adds the following, that in the cases of kali abishal, that's the normal way you cook it in a klisheni. There's nothing unusual about using a klisheni in kali abishal. Those people are not makpid dafka to look for a kli rishon in these substances that are so soft. Or if you want to cook a piece of bread that's already been baked, you don't have to look for a kli rishon, put in a klisheni, that's called darko bekach. But if you had something that generally would be cooked in a kli rishon, then if you cook it in a klisheni, that's not bishul doraisa, because ain't darko bekach. And again, he's emphasizing in this paragraph the contrast that we've seen over and over again between Melecha Shabbos and Universal Bishul. Now he gets back to the issue of Te, Ale Te. And he says, Yadua, okay, I didn't know it was so Yadua, I didn't know about it, but Shem Maran Agrach Zal, that Reb Chaim used to say that there's no Iser with regard to Ale Te in a Klisheni. And now we have to understand why. Because everything that we've said until now would indicate that there's a problem with Alei Teh. We got to the point in which the Mishnah Berurah wanted to touch on the possibility of an Issa Skila because he's pouring from a kli rishon onto the Teh.
So it's a direct machloket between
Reb Chaim and the Chofetz Chaim, they were contemporaries.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who was old.
He never met on Shabbat and had a cup of tea.
Right. I think they were exactly the same age. The Chofetz Chaim died 30 years later. I mean, Reb Chaim died, he just turned 60. Chofetz Chaim died in his mid-90s. Yeah. He actually had a child. He fathered a child when he was in his 80s, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. I knew her. She passed away not long ago. So why does Reb Chaim come to this lenient verdict, this ruling that you're allowed to cook Alei Teh in a klisheni? I mean, after all, we have this principle called Kali Abishal. Why shouldn't that apply in the case of tea leaves? So this was the shmua, this was the rumor that was said in the name of Reb Chaim, but there was no lundus attached to it. You know, what did Reb Chaim mean by this? Why? How did he come to this conclusion? V'nira b'bir dvarav. So the Einikol wants to explain the Zayda. And he says, if I'm the mitzad mechzi kimevashel, the osim rabbanim b'klisheni kaimelon the betavlin shebol amarik es hakidero leka mishum isid rabbanim the mechsei kimavasha. He's going back to the sugi of tavlin. Now, if you remember, the Mishnah prohibited putting tavlin into an ilfas. The ilfas was a kli rishon. The implication was in a kli sheni, that's okay.
So and sheni, according to this, are a tavlin?
Oh, that's what he's going to drive at. But let's go slow. First we go to the case of tavlin. So what's the deal with tavlin? If I remember correctly, from the sugi that we went through today, it meant basically there was no one right. Who prohibited tavlin in a kli sheni. And if we understand that, then maybe we could understand why Reb Chaim thinks that tea leaves have the same status as tablets. So let's try to figure out why there's no... after we've learned everything that we've learned here today, in the name of the Smag and so forth, and the Mishnah Berurah's big deal about two possibilities, there's a possibility of Mexican Mavashal in a Klisheni, there might even be Bishul Dorais in a Klisheni. Why is the tablet not subject to Bishul in a Klisheni? And the Gemara... understands in first from the Mishnah that you're allowed to put tavlin into a klisheni without any hesitation. No one questions that. That was the only one single premise that nobody questioned in the Gemara. When we got to Melach, we had three different possibilities as far as klisheni. But with regard to tavlin, not.
I see tea is closer to tavlin than salt. Salt.
Well, I'm not up to salt yet, but just explain to me why there's no bishul of klisheni in a tavlin. That's what's really bothering my mind, as I would say in Yiddish.
Because I think when we first introduced tavlin, we saw them as the paradigm of Kalei Bishono.
Yeah, and that was saying Faketa in the Gemara itself, no one prohibits tavlin in the klisheni. Why not?
That's strange if it's a Kalei Bishono.
So he says there's a svara here which I want you to underline here. Ba lematik es hakidera. Tavlin is unique. It's not like any other foodstuff in terms of the laws of Bishul. The regular classical laws of Bishul that operated with regard to foodstuffs do not apply in the case of tavlin. Why? Because tavlin is only coming lematik es hakedera, which I think he means you don't eat tavlin straight away. I don't know, maybe, in all the crazy diets they have today with alternative medicine, maybe there are people who tell you to eat tavlin straight away. I don't know. But generally speaking, the whole purpose, the function of tavlin, is to add to the kedera. Now, what does that mean?
You never eat a kazayit.
Okay. But he's saying that you don't have mechsi kimavashel on something that's not cooked in and of itself, or by itself. When we talk about mechsi kimavashel, and the Rabbanan are worried about bishul in a klisheni, and again, we're only talking now about the Darabonim. We have to address the issue of the Dorais as well. But when we talk about the Darabonans, then we could suggest the following, that the Rabbanon only made this gzera when you take something and you do what could be misinterpreted or misunderstood to be a Maisa Bishul. In the case of tavlin, you're not really cooking the tavlin. Tavlin are not cooked per se. They're added to a tavshil and now cook the tavshil. It's almost as if the tavlin have the status of a tafel. It's something that's like totally secondary.
Harav, could it be that spices are to food as tea is to water? Meaning they're kind of adding an element to the water?
Exactly.
You certainly don't eat tea by itself.
Right.
And the water's okay with it.
And therefore, that's what he says, Lahachi, and therefore, Hiter HaGrachzal LaNicham. To place the aliyate b'klisheni, because you don't eat aliyate. Now again, I don't know, today maybe people do eat aliyate. I don't know. No, today everything is different than it used to be, But like what we call nana, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think that's what he has in mind here, but nanos, which I think in English is called spearmint or something along that line. So you put that into tea, but you don't take a bite out of the nana. So it has that same unique status as tavlin, that it's a nachschlepper, it's a secondary condiment, that accompanies the bishul, but the kedera, but not, it's not an ikar machal unto itself.
You don't care really if your spices get cooked. You just want the flavor to come out of them to go into the food.
Right, excellent. That's an excellent point.
The salt that way very much affects other part, like we're saying, the shor, basar shor, it affects the substance of the tabbouleh, a whole new issue. But the regular whole gamut of spices, you don't care if they got bishul or not, because even if you put them into yad zaletbo, kli shlishi, and it's already practically cold, but you got the flavor. Mm-hmm. So that's it. Mix it up a little bit harder, and it'll be mixed in. That's it. It's a fun.
So we're not interested in cooking it.
That's the way they're used. Typically, they're ground up. You use them as a small amount. Let's say if you, I don't know, had ground garlic or pepper or all these other things on the spice rack there. You don't care if they get cooked. Just they affected the flavor. Once you put them in
cold
the
or hot, you can put a spice in something without it still works.
Cooking is really not a tikkun on them.
It's right. Excellent point. So this is one issue. Again, we saw the Mishnah Berurah that pouring hot water on tea has two issues. Number one, we're talking about mechzei kemavashel, and in this sense, Reb Chaim was of the opinion that you don't apply mechzei kemavashel to tavlin. That's why there was never an issue in the Gemara at all about tavlin and a kli sheni. But then he says, what about the other issue that we saw before? Yesh ladun. My time alo osar hagrach mitzada isa daraisa shal kalia bishul. This has nothing to do with Mexican mavasha. If you're actually cooking it in a cliche, it's kalia bishul, then Reb Chaim should be concerned about the possibility of a daraisa. And that's what we saw in the Mishnah Berurah. And the Mishnah Berurah had a second reason why he wanted to prohibit alitei in a klisheni, because he felt that there might be bishul doraisa. And here you're not going to say, well, te'arei ketavlin, to ha'ein anu b'kiyam ma hoya tavlin bizman ha'gemara. Here we get very inhibited about saying that if there's no bishul in tavlin in a klisheni, then there's no bishul in Ali Tei in a klisheni, because again, we're not Bekiyim. It could be that, you know, what was included on the tavlin in those days was not Ali Tei. You know, Ali Tei didn't fit into that category, wasn't subsumed or swallowed under the general rubric of tavlin, and therefore maybe there is Bishul Beklisheni in a case of Ali Tei. The Efshad, the tavlin of Musa Gemara, Eino Mikali Ab Bishul, Fu Eino Mizbashul Beklisheni. So the Gemara is not worried about klisheni with regard to tavlin, because there's no cooking of the tavlin in a klisheni. It's not kaliyad bishul. But mashenki bialite shaper mizbashlim beklisheni. It's very possible that you can cook them. It's kaliyad bishul, and they can be cooked in a klisheni. So at this point in the discussion, we don't understand Reb Chaim. No, we're halfway there, but we still have the main barrier to overcome. We understand why there's no Mexican mavasha, because it's like tavlin insofar it's only lematik as hakadera, but we don't understand why there's no bishul bidin kali abishul b'klisheni. V'anira poshut was that the ini aderech bishul shali teu b'irifli risha. What is the normal?
We need to photocopy.
I'm not sure. We'll see. But he's saying the following in the bottom paragraph, that the way, the normal way of cooking, the classical way of cooking the ale tei for purposes of tea, is through iri kli rishon. What they did was, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah was describing, they took hot water from the kumkum that was on the fire, and they poured it onto the ale tei, and that's how they cooked the ale tei. But now what you're doing is you're putting tea into a klisheni. That's not derech bishul. He says, there's a machlok shini rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam. Right now we could add the Rashba to Rabbeinu Tam, right? The, as far as the status of Iri Kli Rishon, according to Rashbam, Kli Rishon, Iri Kli Rishon has the status of a Kli Sheni. According to Tosfos, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, Iri Kli Rishon has the status of a Kli Rishon. Hinei Ledas Rashbam, Iri Kli Sheni, Nimtza Shaderf Bishol Shal Ali Tehu B'Kli Sheni. Ah, this is going to be a problem. I think, paradoxically, we're going to end up with a chumrah in tea based on the kula of the Rashbam. What do I mean? The Rashbam is the big makil. He says that Iri Kli Rishon has the status of a klisheni. That's a gevaldige kula. And we discussed this yesterday, because once it's out of the, you know, that koach achimum of the walls of the kli, it's up in the air, it's iri kli rishon, it's already kli sheni, it doesn't have the status of kli rishon. So now the Rashbam, it turns out, is going to be a chumra, because then what kind of a kli are we using, what kind of method are we using to cook our tea leaves? Kli sheni. Mm-hmm. Right? Why? Because iri kli rishon is kli sheni. So it means that the derech bishul, the well-accepted, standard, popular way of cooking tea leaves, is through a kli sheni, according to the Rashba. Because iri kli rishon has the din of kli sheni. Now we're going to have a problem with Reb Chaim, because how could Reb Chaim allow putting your tea bag into a kli sheni when that's going to be derech bishul? Because again, according to the Rashbam, iri kli rishon is kli sheni. So he says, therefore, harei derech bishul hu al yedei iri mikli rishon. Okay, this part you don't have. Let's just see how much we need, and then we can photocopy it. V'din iri kli rishon kikli sheni, according to the Rashbam, in kein asur litnem, you're not allowed to put ali tei in a kli sheni. Achem l'das rabbeinu tam. Who's the big machmer? Now we can be making linti. What? The iri havik a kli rishon. It means that the derech bishul of ali tei is through a kli rishon. So therefore, Reb Chaim is going to allow you to put it into a kli sheni. V'hochi kaimu. Rav Soloveitchik claims that we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, that iri kli rishon has the status of kli rishon, because again, it hasn't yet gone into a second kli. How does he know this? So he tells you to look in Tosfos, who says that iri kli rishon is mevashel kedei klipa. Do you remember this? Mm-hmm. And that only makes sense according to Rabbeinu Tam. According to the Rashbam, you can't say that it's mevashel kedei klipa, because it's a klishen, and klishen ain't a mevashel. Certainly in Issur v'Heter. So I'm almost at the finish line here. He says, in kei nimtza, she'im, according to Rabbeinu Tam, ain't darkom shel alei atei de levashlam v'klisheni, because again, kli rishon is kli, the iri kli rishon is kli rishon, shuv ein aleim din kalei abishol shevis bashlam v'klisheni. In other words, even if you'll tell me it's kalei abishol, but that's only kalei abishol, that's derech levashlam v'klisheni. Here, the derech is the levashlam v'kli rishon, or in the footnote, we'll write iri kli rishon, which according to Rabbeinu Tam is kli rishon. And that's how he ends the presentation. Wow, this is a piece of work, I'm telling you. There's so many ifs, ands, and buts here, you know, it's like going like this.
You say, you know? He had a little bit of a hard time defending Reb Chaim?
I thought so until I got to this nira on the bottom, because up until there I was really in shock that Reb Chaim would be matir something that's a suffix isa doraisa, you know, and I have the words of the Mishnah Berurah, shaking up my brain here that there's an isa skil over here. So how could Reb Chaim be making on something like that? But the answer is there's a key concept here, which is derech bishul. I want to review that. Let's go back to the first paragraph. Which is at the end of Gimel, which is on the top left column. I just want to go over that one more time. He says that with regard to Bishul on Shabbos, as opposed to Kol Torah Kula, we look at what's called Derech Bishul. And why is Derech Bishul such a powerful force in Shabbos? Because the Derech Bishul is the Tikkun and the Melechas Machshavos. And that's why the Smag says that if you wanted to cook a pas that's already been baked, you don't have to put it in a kli rishon, just put it into a kli sheni. And that's already considered derech bishul. In other words, when was the last time you took a piece of bread, a small piece of bread, and put it into your soup? Probably last Shabbos. You know, this is very common. That means it's derech bishul. So this smog about a soft piece of bread in a kli sheni, that you have to be careful about that, that's because it's derech bishul. The same thing I would say, oh, Okay, he says it, right? I don't have to say it. Is kuyas ha'ispinin, that it's derech bishul to put it into a cliche. So I'm both like, this is, he's already laying the groundwork. He's planting the seeds for his breakthrough. He has to explain Rav Chaim. And he's going to say that klisheni is only considered bishul and Shabbos because leinyan Shabbos has leinyan bosa derech bishulo. That's the key phrase here, derech bishulo. So you want to underline that once on line 3, and then again on line 6 when he says leinyan as leinyan Shabbos bosa derech bishulo. Oh, and yet again, if you skip another 2 lines, you have to underline it. Derech Bishulo. He says it a third time in Kulius Ha'ispin. That the Derech Bishulo is in a cliche. Lefizi Nimsa, She'ein less of a cliche, Mishum Chashashi Sutora, Ella Im Kain Darko Bekach. So when I read this the first time, I didn't pay much attention to it. This is a bomb. And this is the only way that Rav Soloveitchik could justify the Zayda for allowing you to put tea into a cliché.
Fantastic.
It's on